You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for December 11th, 2015. This week, I'm going to talk about mechanical versus bioprosthetic aortic valve replacement, the lack of data for patients with chronic kidney disease and heart disease, optimism after ACS, and two studies on statin drugs. First up, let's talk about the aortic valve. Long-term survival was nearly two-thirds higher for patients in their 50s who had mechanical versus bioprosthetic aortic valve. These were the surprising findings of a large population-based observational study from Sweden. The researchers looked at isolated aortic valve replacements in patients who were age 50 to 69. They looked at between the years 1997 and 2013, and they compared outcomes in patients who had mechanical versus bioprosthetic valves, and they used propensity matching to get the two groups close, as this was not a randomized trial. Survival benefit between the two groups, mechanical bioprosthetic, was not different in patients over the age of 60. And the other findings were pretty much as expected. More bleeding events in mechanical valve patients, more reops in bioprosthetic valves, and no differences in cardiovascular death or stroke. Now, in the discussion section, the paper was published in European Heart Journal. The Swedish investigators proposed reasons why mechanical valve may associate with lower mortality in younger patients in Sweden, but perhaps not in other U.S.-based population studies. In Sweden, they say, there is a national healthcare system, and one result of that, they think, is that anticoagulation measures are better. Anticoagulation is better in Sweden. And of course, if anticoagulation is better, that would strengthen or act to negate the Achilles heel of mechanical valves, which of course is lifelong anticoagulation. This aortic valve story is an interesting story. Clearly, more and more bioprosthetic valves are being done, but of late, it seems like in the last few months or this year, I've reported on a number of cautionary studies about bioprosthetic aortic valves. Stay tuned for more on this. Next up is a story on chronic kidney disease and lack of clinical data. Kidney disease and heart disease often coexist. Estimates have that the two problems occur in the same patient 30 to 60% of the time, and when it does, it complicates treatment. The hard truth is that treatments shown to be beneficial in randomized controlled trials may or may not apply to patients with chronic kidney disease. We simply do not know. And the reason we don't know is that patients with kidney disease are excluded from clinical trials. So a systematic review published in JAMA Internal Medicine found that patients with kidney disease were excluded about two-thirds at a time from major trials looking at cardiovascular drugs. I can think of three big examples that come up all the time in regular practice. And that is anticoagulation. We don't know what's best for patients with kidney disease. Second is ICDs. And another, which was brought up in the HeartWire and Medscape news story, was that the recent Paradigm Heart Failure trial, which looked at valsartan sacubitril in patients with systolic heart failure, that trial excluded patients with a GFR less than 30 or any patient who had a drop in their GFR of 35% during the run-in phase. So this is a real problem. We won't know. There'll be a knowledge gap in a big population of patients with heart failure. And so in general, we're often left extrapolating results of clinical trials to patients with kidney disease. And in my experience, this is opinion for sure, benefit is often assumed, but I don't think it should be. I mean, when we look at the ICD data, for instance, ICDs are often implanted in patients with kidney disease, but I cannot find any solid evidence that the net clinical benefit in patients with kidney disease is positive. The randomized controlled trials showed benefit in patients, but kidney disease was exclusion. and subsequent data on patients with kidney disease has failed to show any clear-cut net clinical benefit. Next up, I want to mention the whole concept of optimism. Okay, let's start by saying heart attacks don't just occur in coronary arteries. They occur in human beings and people. And in people, everything is connected, including the mind and the body and the heart. And that's why I'm not surprised that a study of ACS patients showed that those who score high on optimism scores had fewer readmissions and better physical mobility. Physical mobility readmissions are obviously important outcome measures after a cardiac event. So take a look at this story. I'm drawn to it because I struggle with how to frame this discussion with people who have heart events. Yes, I want to give information because I so believe in education and patients should be informed about their health. But also, I'm sensitive to the fact that a cardiac event can create sort of an existential crisis and a fear in patients. And a bias of mine is that I really despise fear when fear stops people from living. Look, life is short, and I want people to have the right health information, but I also don't want them to become a cardiac cripple. Two stories on statins are next. First, do negative news stories influence people to stop taking their drug, and does this affect heart health? Danish researchers studied exactly these questions in a massive observational population-based study of more than 670,000 patients taking statins. They found significant associations between negative news stories and statin discontinuation. The hazard ratio was only 1.09 here. They also found that statin discontinuation associated with an 18% higher rate of cardiovascular death. But I'm a little surprised. I'm surprised this sort of thing gets published in a major journal. I'm surprised it gets the attention. Major cardiologists have opined on it. These investigators merely showed an association. They did not show that negative news stories caused statin discontinuation. And they surely didn't show that statin discontinuation caused cardiovascular events. They merely showed that an association, for instance, just being male was much more predictive of a cardiovascular event than statin discontinuation. Now, this story leads me to the second statin story, which is a new data from the CDC revealed that only 45% of 78 million adults who were eligible to take cholesterol-lowering drugs actually took them. And the rates of drug use were even lower for Black and Mexican-American individuals. And men were less likely than women to be on the cholesterol-lowering drugs. Now, the CDC research team used the NHANES database to estimate these numbers, and they found shockingly that 36%, more than 1 in 3 adults over the age of 21, were either on or eligible to take cholesterol-lowering drugs. And the researchers wrote that clinical programs are needed to better identify all persons eligible for the drugs, and they think that they said that screening and management can be improved by implementing evidence-based interventions. So I guess the translation of that is that they want more people to take statin drugs. I don't agree. And here's where population health and individual health separate. I recognize the possibility that more statin use may decrease heart events in the population. But individual people, not doctors, must decide and make this call of who takes the drugs. And just like there is no right amount of anticoagulation in populations of AFib patients, there is no right amount of cholesterol drug use in the population. You know, this sounds crazy, but I think a better use of public health dollars would be to study ways to provide healthier food, more walkable neighborhoods to the populations, rather than to convince them to take medications. So that's it for this week. Until next week, this is John Mandrola from Heart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from Heart.org on Medscape.